As we gather today, we definitely are thankful for everything that God has done this year, and also excited for God, what God is doing next year. Many years ago, I pastored here at church in San Jose. It used to be on the, between Tully and Capitol, off on Center. And one day I was downtown San Jose. That's when downtown San Jose was a little bit, nicer, it's calmer. There was this one gentleman who used to walk the streets. I know that he didn't have a home. And I noticed him one day that I was there. What caught my eye was that he was walking really fast. And he was talking. I couldn't hear what he was saying. So I got a little closer to him, and he was saying, I got to get there. I'm in a hurry. They're waiting for me. I'm running late. He was just talking to himself, okay? And the following week, I happened to have to go downtown as well again. And so I saw him, and I bought a donut and coffee for myself, and I offered him to him. And he grabbed him. Didn't even say thank you. Didn't even look at me. He just grabbed him and kept on walking. I gotta go. I'm in a hurry. And he's walking really fast. And so then I made it a point to every week go and see what he was doing, where he was at. And I would take him a burrito or a sandwich or something. And he kind of like already had caught on to it, but never did he say thank you. He just simply just kept on going. And one of the foot cops downtown, he saw what I was doing, and one day came up to me. He says, hey, I see what you're doing for Mophead. I said, Mophead? Because the guy had this big, huge head of hair. I mean, just big head of hair. And it literally looked like a mop, okay? A dirty mop, okay? And he kept walking, kept and always in a hurry. I would have to almost run just to catch up to him. It was impressive that this man was walking so fast to get nowhere. He didn't know really where he was going. He didn't have an appointment. No one was really waiting for him, but he was in a hurry to get there. It's kind of like some folks live their life. They're always in a hurry, and they really don't know where they're going or what they're doing. They're working hard to accomplish what? It's kind of like those folks that you probably see them on the street. They run from one red light to another. You ever seen those guys? They're just in a hurry, you know? And when they get to the following red light, they're kind of like, they look at you like, I beat you to this red light. Okay? Only in California, only here in the Bay Area, do we buy cars that take us from 0 to 100, and I don't know how many seconds, only to be stuck on the 101 going 35 miles an hour. Is that true? Because we want to be in a hurry. We always look for the fastest lane. We always look for the shortest lane because we're in a hurry to do what? We set up schedules. We got reminders. I don't know about you, but I not only have my wake-up call, but I also have a backup wake-up call that then is backed up by another call, okay, just to remind me to get up. Okay, so one person said amen, okay? Because we're in a hurry. And we count our times by minutes, not by hours, not by days, not by weeks, but by sometimes minute, because we're in a hurry to get where, to do what. These are people who don't know what they're accomplishing. They don't know what they're going to do in life. And our pastor has set out a theme for next year. And I feel so honored to share this with you as we look at 2026. Isn't it amazing, 2026? Man, I didn't know I'd live this long. Thank God I'm still here, okay? But 2026, he set the theme as on mission. Somebody say that with me, on mission. And it's an amazing scripture or theme because it challenges us on so many levels. It challenges us as a church to see if we're on mission or not, to ask ourselves, what is our mission? I believe that we are all created by God. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. God gave us life, every one of us, amen? Amen. And God doesn't make mistakes, amen? Amen? I know you're thinking about your husband saying, well, maybe my God did. No, God does not make mistakes. Please say amen, okay? All right, so then because God is perfect and doesn't make mistakes, and because God gave me life, I know what he's done in my life. I mean, God made something in my life, and he did it with a purpose. He gives my life purpose. He has a destiny for me. There's a will of God for my life. If you believe it, say amen again, okay? And sometimes we get kind of like mixed up on why we live, what we do, or what we are to accomplish. We forget that we are on mission. I am on mission to discover my purpose, God's purpose in my life. There is a destiny that God has defined for my life. My mission is to not only discover it, but also live in it. I believe that God has given me an assignment here on earth. If you believe with me, say amen, okay? My challenge is to understand, to discover it, to live within that mission. And you see, that's the challenge that we have for next year. To find out the mission that God has for each and every one of our lives. God created me. He gave me life. And when he saw me, he knew what he was doing in my life. And that's why he has determined a mission for my life. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering. Okay? Hallelujah. Getting back to the notes over here, when I talk about being on mission, I got to ask myself, what is then my mission in my life? What has God determined in my life? I know all of us have thought at one time or another, goodness gracious, what am I doing here on life, okay? What am I doing here on earth? Am I on the mission that God called me to do in life? And I want to thank God for a pastor who has had that vision for our lives. See, this is the questions that we need to ask, okay? Am I living my dreams? And Pastor Ken always talks about the dream that we have and the dreams that God gives us. Am I living in my purpose, the purpose that God gave me? Am I at least living towards that dream, towards that purpose? Am I on my way to live in the destiny that God has given me? Many of us need to ask ourselves those questions, because we are doing life, but do we know where we're headed? Do we know what we're doing? Do we know what God wants from our lives? Can you imagine getting in the car and the whole family's in there and they're all excited, and so you're the driver, and they look at you and they ask you, where are we going? And you say, I don't know. I know that happens when you're hungry and everybody knows we've got to go out to eat, but then we don't know where we're going to end up going, right? And they say, where do you want to eat? I don't know, wherever you want to eat. Where do you want to eat? And then you say, well, let's go here. And they say, no, I don't want to go there. Well, you know. None of us get to hit the road and say, well, let's see where the car takes us. Because the car needs to be steered, okay? And unfortunately, some folks are living life that way. Can you imagine, you know, a couple seeing each other and they say, I like you. We get married? Okay, let's get married. Do we love each other? We'll find out whether we do or not. No one's going to do that. Please, no one do that, okay? Because we're children of God. And because I'm a child of God, I know there's something bigger than just simply doing life. There's something greater than just living, existing here on earth. Waking up in the morning and saying, oh, well, here I am. What do I do? No. I'm a child of God. Because I know I'm a child of God, there's a destiny, a purpose for my life. And so the challenge is this now. In 2026, I'm not only going to find my mission, find what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody give a little clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in 1 Samuel chapter 18, I found a scripture. I shared it with the men's ministry. And by the way, men's ministry, we have a breakfast for men the very last Saturday of every month. And I'm going to tell you, let's give the Lord a clap offering for men's ministry, all right? Carlos is over here. He helps me out with it, with the men's ministry. I don't know how many more of the leaders are here, but God bless you. Wives, if you're having problems with your men, send them with us on the last Saturday of the month. We'll take care of them. We'll slap them up with the Word of God. We'll shake them in the presence of God. All right? But I want to warn you, they're going to become the man that God wants them to be, okay? Not the man that you want them to be. You're supposed to say amen and not laugh there, okay? Anyhow, So I shared this scripture with the man back in November, and I was talking to Pastor Ken about it because I think it gives us, it brings it to life what it is to be on mission. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we find this story. And how do we get to this chapter 18, okay? In chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, we find out that Saul has disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, God said, I'm not going to deal with you anymore. And he takes away his Holy Spirit from Saul. So Saul is still being king, but he doesn't have the favor of God. That's the message within a message, okay? In the following chapter, chapter 16, God speaks to Samuel. And he says, I need you to go to Jesse's house because the next king you need to anoint, he's going to be there. And you know the story. Jesse brings out all his sons. And all the ones that he brings out, they're tall, they're handsome. And you know how the scripture says that God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart of the individual. Amen? And I thank God for that scripture because I imagine all of them were tall. And then he asked him, these aren't the ones, okay? Do you have another son? He goes, yeah, I got another son. His name is Samuel, and he's shepherding the sheep. And here comes David. And David comes in, and he's a young boy, and he's not tall. I thank God that he chooses individuals also who are not tall. That's another message within a message. All you 5 foot nothing Christians say amen to that one, okay? God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart of the individual, and God tells Samuel, that's the guy. He anoints him and prophesies, you're going to be the next king of Israel. Wow, that's powerful, okay? So chapter 17 comes around, and we see David, the guy who's been anointed as king, kill Goliath. And David becomes this national celebrity. Everybody loves him. Everybody praises him. Everybody adores him, okay? And Saul sees this. Saul is the king without the Spirit of God. He sees this, that David is a pretty good guy, man. You know, he's got a lot of potential. So then Saul brings him into his house, his palace. So here's this shepherd boy who doesn't know anything about royalty. I mean, it's like getting some up, you know, living out in the hills and all of a sudden coming into, there's running water, there's, you know, gas, there's electricity. This is what was happening with Samuel. I'm sorry, with David. So David comes and lives with Saul. And as he's living there with Saul, he becomes buddies with his son, Jonathan. And Jonathan introduces him to royalty. He gives him his robe, his bow and arrow, his sword, his shield. And David is like, wow, this is great. And in this following verse, verse 5, we find out something that's happening. We go to the notes in chapter 5, verse 5. And it reads like this, that the notes say like, there it is. Okay, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. This is important here. Whatever mission, somebody say mission. Mission in the Hebrew indicates assignment, undertaking, the duty, the task. To us, it equates, it's the same level as our calling, our ministry, or whatever service God has called us to implement. It's mission. Whatever Saul told him to do, he would go and do it. And that takes us to the next word that's important, whatever. Now, that whatever is not whatever. You know those teenagers that always say whatever, you know? It's whatever. Whatever mission. That means anything. Have you ever applied to a job and it says all other undisclosed duties? That's when you know that you're way at the bottom of the totem pole, right? Anything. There's no really job description for David. It was anything that Saul told him to do. Miscellaneous. Anything whatsoever, okay? He had no name, no title, No position, no nothing. And keep in mind that Saul is this narcissist guy, man. You know, he likes to be in control. He likes to look good. So he's telling David to do all kinds of things. Hey, David. Yes, King Saul. Go kill the Ammonites. Okay. He goes out, he kills the Ammonites. Comes back, and then he says, kill all the Ammonites. He goes, okay, take my clothes to the cleaners. And he does that, okay? And David comes back and goes, anything else? Yeah, you know what? Go kill the Philistines. He goes, takes off, goes, kills the Philistines, come back, says, Philistines are dead. Oh, that's really good. Can you go water the horses now? Okay, there he goes, watering the horses, comes back. Everything's done. You need anything else? And Saul says something like, hey, yeah, I feel like some sushi. Can you go give me some sushi, please? So here goes David. And everybody is watching this, okay? Keep in mind that David knows that his mission is to be the king over Israel. And Saul has him doing these remedial, insignificant assignments, duties. It was whatever he wanted him to do. Because you see, he was still in power. He was still in authority. Saul was. And the thing about it is that everybody was watching what David was doing. Unfortunately, sometimes when we want to do something for God, we want the title. We want a clear job description. We want somebody to give us some kind of recognition, at least some kind of certificate, or something to authenticize what we are doing. But many times when God calls you to be on a certain mission, we don't fully understand what it is. And he simply asks us to obey and believe. To believe and obey. But many of us say, no, I'm too busy for God to simply say, show up. I'm too educated to just simply show up without anyone telling me exactly what hour I punch in, what hour I punch out. And sometimes this on-mission thing is God trying to teach us who he wants us to become. Not necessarily do, but also to become. You guys still with me? Yeah. On mission. Let's go back to the notes. Don't give a clap off from just yet, okay? This is going to get a little bit more serious. See, on mission, it's not just something you do, a place, a position you arrive, but is also who you become. That's important. Hallelujah. Has anybody been a waiter here? Waitress or waiter? Anybody? That's one of the most challenging jobs on the face of the earth. You know, if you go out and serve at Reaching Out, that's one of the most challenging positions to serve in, because people will show up and they're already angry at life. They're already mad because they don't have enough money. They're already angry at God because they have to get free food. And so you're there with a smile saying, God bless you. And they look at you as, just get the food in my car and that's it. Because serving is not just something you do, it's someone you become. Yeah. When we ask God, God, I don't know my mission. Show me my mission. Get ready for God not only to help you do something, to cause you to do something, to call you to do something, but also in that process, become who he knows you can become. And sometimes it involves humbleness, submission, obedience. It's getting really quiet in here. Okay? Because a lot of folks come and serve at the Reaching Out, but because they want their picture, you know, being shown, or they want to be applauded, or they want to have that vest, or they want to get some kind of, oh, you know what? When you serve God on mission, it's not as important as to what you do, but also who you are and who you are to become. So now you can give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. You see, because when I'm on mission, I also understand that the process of God, of what God is doing in my life. Here's a guy, he's young, he's been told he's going to be the king over Israel, and he's serving king, the disobedient king, the rebellious king, the king that God doesn't want him on the throne. He is serving him. Samuel is mentoring him, showing him what to do. And so he feels like, wait a minute, I was called to be the king. What do you mean I got to water the horses? What do you mean I got to go kill the Philistines? What do you mean I got to do what you tell me to do? Because the process of God sometimes takes us through things to show us not so much what to do, but who to become. And there's some folks here today that are struggling with that in 2025 as to what has happened in your life. Because you just don't understand. Why does God have me here? And you're upset at God, you know? You ask God, open the doors. And God opened the doors. You walk in and go, God, why'd you give me this job? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Because you're not understanding God's process in making you who you are to be and helping you become that. Many years ago, we moved from Northern California down to Ontario. And I needed to get a job. I was helping as a volunteer youth pastor at a church. They had no salary, so I had to get a job to feed my family. And I jumped from job to job. And finally got a job at a bank, okay? And at first I was really inspired, but then I found out that the reason the bank has a lot of money is because they don't pay the employees very good. So I'm working at the bank, okay? And I'm like, and I'm complaining, you know? And so then, this was back when there was no internet. That's how old I am, okay? I had my Bible and a couple of books, and during my break, I would go down, and here's pious John, you know, God-fearing John, you know, reading his Bible and reading a couple of books, and I thought I was good all, that this is why God wanted me there, right? And one day, Doris comes by. Doris says, hey, what are you doing, Mr. Mendez? I said, come on, Doris, call me John. Okay, what are you doing, John? I told him, I'm reading the Bible, I'm pastor, and so on and so on. And she says, hey, are you one of those Christians that believe that God can heal? I said, yeah, funny you should ask, okay? And she says, hey, I've got 4 lumps in my breast. They're cancerous, and I'm scared. So we prayed. And as we prayed, Doris got so inspired, she invited other people to come and join. We had this little Bible study going. About a month later comes by, and Doris shows up to a little Bible study. She goes, guys, I got great news. I went to the doctor, and the lumps are gone. God has healed me, okay? And then I started saying, okay, this is why God has me. This is why you have me here, God. And God says, shut up, John. Listen to me, okay? And so some time goes by, and we do this presentation because I was a part of the support team of the marketing department, and we do this set up this project, and I do the presentation to the board of directors, and they love it and they applaud and everything. And we're going to do it, and the president of the bank comes to me one day and he says, "Hey John, why do you know so much about this?" And I said, well, it's just something I did. He goes, but why are you working for your boss and not your boss working for you? And I said, well, he has an education and I don't. The following day, he shows up and he gives me the registration to go to school and get my degree in marketing. They paid for everything. Someone praise the Lord for that, okay? So then I said, oh, this is why God has me. And then again, God says, shut up, John. You watch what I'm going to do. Because some of us are too much in a hurry to try to advance God's process. I want to tell you, God knows what he's doing. I'll say that again. God knows what he's doing. Okay, all right. Maybe you didn't understand. God knows what he's doing in our lives, man. He knows what he's doing, okay? And so then, I get my education and come back, and I become my boss's boss. And I think, okay, now I arrive, and God says again, shut up, John. And there was this one vice president who used to come in, and he'd come into my office, and every once in a while he'd do, oh, blah, 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 because, you know, we had talked about speaking in tongues, and he'd come in, he'd poke his head into my office, he'd go, blah, 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 do you understand that, John? And he'd make fun of me, right? Well, one day he walks in, and he sits down in front of my desk, and I say, hey, what's up? I'm not going to say his name because I don't want you to research it, okay? So what's up? He says, my wife has leukemia. They give her 6 weeks to live. can you pray for her, please? And we did. We go into the hospital, we pray for her, and God heals her. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. So as I'm there, I'm working away and so on. One day the president comes in, he says, John, you're really not going to be a banker for the rest of your life, are you? I said, no, sir, I'm not. What do you want to do in life? Listen to this. He asked me, what do you want to do in life? God sent a non-believing individual to ask me whether I was on mission or not. What do you want to do in life? And I told him, well, you know, I'm pastoring, I'm helping as a volunteer, but I'd really like to get my master's degree in pastoral studies. And he says, look for the school that you want to go to, bring it to me, and we'll pay for your school. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, some of the individuals here are where you're at because God is going to bless you. God is going to provide for you. You're not believing this because, yeah, that boss, that company, what you're doing has nothing to do with the mission. Don't worry about it. God is in control. David knew that he had been called to be the king of Israel. That did not stop him on what God wanted to do in his life. And look what Hannah Sinardo says. She's part of the children's ministry, and she says this, when I know my mission, my goals are clear and set in place. See, when you know what God has called you to do, to become, it doesn't matter what's happening around you. You take every one of those experiences and you say, okay, God, how are you going to use this in my life to do your perfect will in my life? I believe that God knows exactly what he's done in your life. I'll say that again. I believe that God knows exactly what he's done in your life. He makes no mistakes. I need to tell you, if you were born a man, you're a man. I'll say it again. If you were born a man, you're a man. Okay? If you were born a woman, God made you a woman. There's nothing in between. Hello? Okay? Okay, so then let me talk to the guys, okay? If God called you to be a man, created you to be a man, then be the man that God called you to be. In the process in which God will take you to be in that mission that God gave you your life, he will direct you. He will mold you. If you're a man, you'll be the husband that God wants you to be. You'll be the father, the grandfather, great-grandfather, and so on and so on, because God knows what he has done in your life. And as he has opened the doors in places that it may even seem like they're not within his will, even those bad things, God can turn to the good. That's what Joseph said. He said, all these things that you did against me, don't worry about it. God has turned them around. He's used them for my good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. It's time already? Oh, goodness. You see, all right. You're limiting what God can do. You're limiting what God can do by doubting, by not believing that even in the worst situation that you are in, God can turn it around. God can make it happen. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the notes, okay? It says like this again. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful. Successful. It's that word in the Hebrew. It means to prosper in your plans, to have good success. You know what? Stop doubting God of where he opened the doors for you to live. You know, those people upstairs that make all that noise. The guy that always takes your parking spot. You know, those people who always cut in front of you as you're late to work. And that worker who always steals your burrito. You know, all those people. Don't worry about it. God can use all those things to put you in mission of what he has dreamed of your life. Because nothing can cancel what God has already declared on your life. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. But sometimes the little things, they distract us. You know, the little games people play, the mother-in-law, the sister-in-law, the next-door neighbor, your boss, your coworker, the little things they say, you know, they get you angry, they get you upset, they get you distracted, the hurts, the triumphs, this accomplishments, the accomplishments, all of them seem to distract you because it's those little things that hurt. Have you gotten a little speck of dust in your eye? Have you ever gotten a little pebble in your shoe? It's those little things that just bother you, that distract you. There's some folks here today that this year has been your year of distraction. Little things that have taken you away from the fact that God called you to be who He has dreamed you to be. And nothing can erase what God has done, has declared on your life. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody send a message to children's ministry that the pastor's preaching a little bit longer. He needs like 6 more minutes. Can someone say amen? Amen. Okay, you guys are on camera. Everybody who said amen? Amen. Right, right. So many years ago, there was an old church in old Chicago. And they brought in a new pastor. New pastor was really excited to bring in new stuff. And he started fixing things around. I mean, the building was majestic. It had these huge, huge stained glass windows. The furniture was all made out of wood, and it was just beautiful. And on top of the platform was this huge, massive piano. It was old, a little dull, out of tune, scratches here and there. And the pastor got this idea. I'm going to trade in this piano and bring in a new one, kind of like to give everybody a new vision of things that are to happen. So he called a show owner. He says, I want to trade in this piano. You want to come and take a look at it and tell me what we can do? The show owner comes in, takes a look at the piano. He plays a little bit on the piano, measures it out, and lifts up this huge, massive lid that it has. Looks inside, gets on his phone, tells the pastor, hey, pastor, we'll take this piano off your hands. And you can go back to my store and just choose any piano you want and we'll call it an even trade. He said, really? Yeah, really. Pastor Sam, I need to get a second opinion. So he called another store owner and the exact same thing happens. Hey, pastor, just bring in this piano. We'll take it off your hands. You can order get any piano you want in our store. Piano was on, and the pastor was onto something. He said, I'll get back to you. And he brings in this technician. You know, the guys who tune up pianos, fix them up, and so on. And brought him in. He says, look, this is what's happened. I want to trade it in, and these guys tell me that if I give them this piano, I can get any piano I want to. And technician measures it up, plays a little bit on it, and he lifts the lid, looks inside, gets on his iPad and is researching. He says, pastor, whatever you do, don't get rid of this piano. And the pastor says, what's up? He said, see the name on that piano inside? It says Steinway. You see that number that's on there? They only made 50 of these pianos. This piano is worth more than all those pianos in both of those stores. He said, wow, I didn't. He goes, yeah, just fix it up a little bit. It's going to be the best piano you've ever, ever had. Okay? Let's get back to this. God gave me life. He's the one that determined I should live. His thumbprint is on my life. When I accepted Jesus Christ, His name is on my life. My life is worth more than anything else that you could compare because He sent His Son to die for me. He paid the ultimate price for my soul, for my life, for the mission He called me to walk in. You see, I'm much more than just another number. I'm not a statistic. No. God's name is written on my life. I said, God's name is written on my life. I'm a child of God. I'm a life of purpose. I'm a life of destiny. Okay, you know what? Others can look at my life and say, nah, that guy, you know, that lady, no way. But you know what? God is with me. And because God is with me, nothing can rise up against me. There is nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is nothing, no trial, no challenge, no devil, nothing that can cancel what God has written in my life. I'm a child of the King. I have purpose. I have destiny. I have mission. I have mission. Man, I'm so glad to be a part of a church who has that vision to challenge us. In 2026, what's your mission in life? What did God declare on your life? There's people here who God has specifically spoken to you. He's called you out by name. He's given you a calling. You see, you can't be like the rest. You can't be just like any other neighbor. No. You are elected, selected by God. You've been anointed and appointed by God to be on mission. I am blessed to bless others. It goes far beyond than simply, I'm a part of a church. No, I'm part of a mission. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So, hallelujah. Yes, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I got 30 seconds. Can you give me another 90 seconds, please? I'm going to be 70 next year. Amen. I'm excited for that. You need some help. It's on the 14th of March. You can write it down, okay? I'm still on mission. I'm still on mission. Every day that I wake up, I'm on mission. My life is simply more than taking up air, to taking up space. No. My life counts. Your life counts. You're just not another body that fills that pew. You're not just another person who gives to this vision. You have mission in your life. There's a cause for your life. It was written by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. I declare it on your life. And all those things of what we've been called, loser, no good for nothing, tonto, cabezudo, the whole works, okay? Those aren't Holy Spirit words, okay? Those are just Spanish words, okay? You can ask somebody who speaks Spanish what that means, okay? No. You know what? My life means something. And if it's just one period, if it's just one iota, it doesn't matter. I'm on mission. My life counts. Will you bow your heads with me for a moment? Hallelujah. Oh man, I feel the Spirit of God speaking to individuals here today who have given up on being the husband that you know God called you to be. On being the mom that God called you to be. You've given up on that ministry. You've given up on that calling. And you know that anointing rests on you. You know that calling is on your life. It means much more than simply having a position. It's having the spirit of obedience and doing what God called you to do. I don't know who you are, but God reminds you that when you were little, God spoke to you. God told you to do an assignment. It still stands today. It's still available for you today. I'm going to make a call right now. It's not coming up to the altar. It's just a response to God. For people who would say, hey, God, I need to stop wasting my time. I need to stop wasting your time, God. I want to be on mission. I accept the call, Lord, to be on mission. I don't need man's title. I don't need their positions. I don't even need their applause or recognition. I want to be who you want me to be, Lord. If you're that person, I'm going to encourage you to stand right where you're at. Don't worry, I'm not going to call you up. It's just people who would stand right where they're at. And what you're telling God is, here I am, God. I want to be on mission. Who else will stand? I want my life to count. The talents you gave me, the anointing you placed on my life. So I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will enable you to understand the process that you are in and how it's going to be an integral part of your mission. I pray that the Holy Spirit would surround you to buffer away all confusion and doubt and fear, and that you will clearly see that you are a chosen life to be on mission. To be on mission. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.